And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And this is a very special Visual Studio 2013 launch edition of the show. Lots of news coming out.
And Visual Studio Online, so lots of stuff in the cloud. But let's just jump right in.
Yeah, let's start getting through it. So the first thing here is this is a post by Brian Harry where he's talking about several things, one of which is Visual Studio Online. We're going to be talking about a lot here. Also, the official release of the release management bits. So earlier this year, we acquired a company called InRelease, builds on top of TFS release management capabilities. It did not RTM at the same time as the rest of the Visual Studio 2013 product line because they were still kind of catching up and getting incorporated with the big machine we call Microsoft.
Right.
But it is now available for download as an add-on to TFS 2013. So we're going to go through a lot of this in more detail. Let's first mention that you can actually go back to all of the launch news that came out earlier this week and check that out on Channel 9.
Yeah, so, you know, we did the live event in New York, and you know, you should definitely check out the keynotes. Some of our favorite folks, Scott Guthrie, Soma, Brian Harry.
Scott Hanselman.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jay Schmelzer. Mm-hmm. So just a ton of folks participating there, and we obviously did live Q&A as well. Hosted a couple,
I
hosted a couple.
Yep, we had several shows.
Mine were better, but, and really the important part was there's over 90 videos now on Channel 9 to delve into the specific parts, and we're going to talk about some of the specific parts, whether it's Monaco, App Insights, and some of the other announcements.
Right, and those videos are really designed to get you started quickly, so they're really designed for targeted features, like how do you use load testing in the cloud, how do you use Monaco, just a ton of great content for you to dive into. But first, let's talk a little bit more in detail about this thing called Visual Studio Online, because I think the name is causing a lot of people to think that this means a hosted version of Visual Studio, and that's what this is. But really, it's kind of that, but there's also a whole bunch more associated with that. The first thing to know is that if you've used Team Foundation Service in the past, our cloud-hosted version of Team Foundation Server, that is now incorporated as part of Visual Studio Online.
The Team Foundation Service became Visual Studio Online.
Right, so there's no more brand known as Team Foundation Service. Everything that you used to know as Team Foundation Service is now part of Visual Studio Online, but Visual Studio Online is also much, much more. Also, a common question I'm seeing, if you've already used Team Foundation Service, you're now just automatically migrated. So you'll just sign into your projects the same way you always have. Go to visualstudio.com and you can sign up for a project if you have not yet created one.
And you know, for developers looking to either evaluate or if you're on a small team, it is free for 5 developers.
Free for up to 5, and then if you have an MSDN subscription, then those users are free for much larger teams. Mm-hmm. And there's also some prorated capabilities as well. So for example, when you sign up for your Visual Studio Online account, we'll give you a certain amount of hosted build resources, so you can do continuous integration, continuous deployment in the cloud, and then you can pay to have resources beyond that.
Right.
Same thing with load testing as well.
Yeah, the load testing is certainly interesting. Like, hey, I want to be able to, and you can imagine sort of like, what's my dream scenario is, I go through some sort of continuous integration build, and then I actually have some sort of load testing as a quality assurance gate that I can automate.
Yeah, and you know, load testing is one of these things that's important for everyone, whether you're a startup that's getting ready to launch something that could go viral and get a lot more users, or if you're, I don't know, the federal government that needs to.
Oh, slam. All right.
Yes, but moving right along, there's also some other capabilities that are part of Visual Studio Online. Application Insights is a brand new one that we announced yesterday is going into preview. Mm-hmm. This one's really cool because it's a monitoring and analytics solution for your environments. That could be production, it could be QA, it could be staging. Mm-hmm. But what's unique about this solution is that it really ties everything you're doing from monitoring and analytics right back into the application lifecycle. So for example, when I push code from TFS over into my environment, we can see a deployment marker that signals to the operations team that's monitoring the dashboard, hey, this is the release that just went out.
Right.
And that's really nice because now if you're seeing, you know, new exceptions that are happening, you can pinpoint why that might have been. Another way that we tie that back is if you do have an issue, whether that's an exception or a slow part of your web application that's running, you can open up that exception, go right back into the code via having IntelliTrace point right back to the release. And so you're probably working on the latest version of your code, but you may have shipped out to this particular environment 3 weeks ago. We'll automatically figure out what version of the code we need to bring up to help you diagnose the issue.
Yep.
So that's Application Insights. And then there's this other thing called Monaco. We'll save that for a couple minutes.
We'll jump into some of them. So Brian, I see here you are actually with Soma, so you get to interview Soma.
Yeah, I had a great about a half an hour long discussion with Soma. He's the Corp VP of the Developer Division, and just got his thoughts on the significance of this release and how developers should be thinking about it.
Cool. So this is, if you have 30 minutes, you want to get a recap on all the announcements, you can hear it directly from Soma.
Yeah, that's right. And he really sets the top-down vision for our team, so it's always nice to hear it kind of straight from him.
Sure. Now, we talked about one of the things yesterday was Monaco. Mm-hmm. So Visual Studio Online Monaco, and Chris Dias told me to always do quotes, so
okay.
I will. That's a great air quote technology.
Because it's a code name, right? Monaco is a code name.
Monaco is a code name, and the idea is it is a browser-based IDE, if you will.
Right.
Now, this isn't necessarily where I'm going to do all my coding in this, but the classic example that Chris was going through is you have an Azure website, you want to deploy, maybe make a couple of changes, or potentially browse. Like, rather than you having to open up Visual Studio, install the different requirements to look at the project, install, you know, maybe dependencies, download something from NuGet, and so forth, you can just quickly go in there, potentially browse, make an edit, and iterate, and actually push it live.
Yeah, and a couple of things to mention here. First of all, you can always drop to Visual Studio if you decide you need the full power of Visual Studio kind of on Windows to work with your application. And then the other thing that people may be wondering, so Napa is this online development environment for Office 365 applications that we announced, gosh, that must have been 18 months ago now. And you may be wondering what the relationship is. Napa is actually an instance of Monaco. So the two actually share code. And so if you're familiar
SkyDrive
with Napa,
SkyDrive is using that's Napa as well as are a number of other sites.
Yeah, Soma talks about that a bit in the interview.
Cool.
So this is a great series, good way to get started with Monaco.
And because there's a lot of detail on, hey, how to get started with CSS, how to get and LESS and JavaScript editing and so on, and ASP.NET, PHP, and so forth.
And in addition to that, be sure to check out Dan's interview with Chris Dias from the team yesterday, which was part of our Channel 9 Live series from this week. So he goes through a lot more detail and shows
and
you the
demo.
Team's perspective.
It's
and
the 5-minute lap. So.
That's right. That's right.
Cool.
Great article here from John Galloway. So John takes his perspective on Monaco and does kind of a lap through on how you can actually start with an ASP.NET repository over in GitHub, open that up in Monaco, and then publish that out into Windows Azure. So this is just another great way to show how easy it is to get started without ever even installing anything on your local machine.
Sure. Very cool. So big announcement here was Microsoft and Xamarin partner globally. So Xamarin, of course, being Miguel Decaza's tools that allow you to use your C# code, and they are actually seeing about 75% code reuse for targeting other platforms that you can in Visual Studio, like iOS and Android.
That's right.
So I have my shared code base, and you can have 75% of it, for example, being across iOS and Android. So in addition to it's part of a broader partnership, right? So we have Portable Class Library, which I'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. Second is actually, if you're an MSDN subscriber, you actually get discounts on Xamarin Tools now, which is definitely very cool, as well as their, I think it's called Xamarin University, you can actually get free training. So if you're an MSDN subscriber, this is just great. And obviously, we're going to be working very closely with Xamarin going forward. And there's even a quote from someone here.
Yeah, I think this is great. You know, a lot of people may not know that Miguel actually has, for a long time, been friends with Microsoft and has worked closely with Microsoft. But I think a lot of people maybe don't know what Microsoft's stance on Xamarin may have been. So they may have been a little reluctant to put their efforts into the Xamarin technology, wondering, hey, does this violate some Microsoft technologies or that sort of thing? So I think this makes it official. It gives people the confidence that they need to go out and start writing their C# code and really compile all those different platforms. So let's actually talk about that, because there's a very significant technology advancement that's part of this as well.
So Richard Lander has a post on portable class libraries and the .NET NuGet libraries. The idea here is that these libraries, we've removed the licensing restriction, and we are resubmitting them to NuGet. So Phil Hackett actually published on User Voice, because we previously had a licensing restriction that said it was effectively Microsoft platforms. That obviously got removed, and now we have these set of libraries, and I'll just quickly read them here. We have HTTP client libraries, SignalR, async for .NET Framework, OData Lib, and immutable collections and obviously a handful of others that we, and some that we've talked about before. So very cool stuff, the fact that you can get this. There is a restriction. I think you just need NuGet 272, I think it is. You can read Richard's post for the detail there. But the point is, these are now libraries that you can use across and target different platforms.
Definitely 272. So announcing Application Insights, we did talk a little bit about this just a few minutes ago, but this is a great post by a friend of the show, Chuck Sterling. I'm actually going to be on Cloud Cover in the next week or two with Chuck, and we're going to go really deep into Application Insights. So just another good post for you to have in
one
the list of links.
One quick thing on App Insights, and because it is a preview. So this is not, if you're a developer looking to get started on it, it really it's more of an information, or can somebody get started today?
Yeah, so what you can do today is you can go to Visual Studio Online, you can sign up for an account there, and when you log into your dashboard, which is formerly the Team Foundation service dashboard, when you log into that dashboard, you'll actually see a big blue box that says something about trying Application Insights. Now, since this is brand new, we are slowly but surely adding more capacity for Application Insights, and so if you go to that box and you notice that there's a waiting list, you can just click to add yourself to the waiting list, and we'll let you know once we have capacity. So we've been processing those requests pretty quickly, but depending on how many people follow that link, it may just be a little bit of time.
Awesome.
Here's another great series here on Channel 9. This is the Application Insights video series. Again, Chuck and team worked on this, so this really shows you once you get that code, or if you're sitting there wondering whether or not Application Insights is for you, this will actually take you through the mechanics of how Application Insights works. And what's great about this is that there's a lot of stuff you can get just by turning on monitoring of your application.
Right.
And then you can go much deeper if you want to by actually instrumenting your application to take advantage of more of the capabilities. But there's just a lot out of the box that you get kind of for free, as it were.
Yeah, so yesterday we were talking about some examples around App Insights, and the classic one being like, hey, I have because this can be used not just for web applications, but also for client applications,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, today we have an SDK for Windows Phone. We're working on one for Windows Store as well, and of course you'll expect to see us add to that over time.
So let's say we have a phone application, we have some features there, and we're like wondering, hey, how much is this feature actually getting used?
Right.
Are people actually finding out that they need to double-click there? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's an issue with feature discovery. So it's not just the exceptions.
Can you double-click on a phone app?
Maybe that's why
people aren't finding the feature, Dan.
That's probably the usability issues of why people aren't going on there. But you have intelligence of how people are actually using your application, so you can design it better.
Got it. Makes sense. Probably, hopefully, without the double clicks. So this is another huge one people have been waiting for and asking about, Productivity Power Tools for 2013.
Yeah, so Productivity Power Tools. This is, I personally haven't downloaded this, but I want to right after here because it's just some pretty amazing stuff. So first thing is Solution Explorer errors. So in your Solution Explorer, you have a couple errors, and they're all over your project. You need to kind of jump through. This, if you're in your Solution Explorer, you'll actually see squiggly lines underneath them. And then because Solution Explorer now supports filtering, they've added filtering for exceptions and warning directly in Solution Explorer. So you can see, if there's five errors, you'll actually see the files of those five errors.
Great.
Directly
more
there.
Places to see all the errors in my bad code. All right. But actually, I love that. That's really cool.
Another one, and this is a really simple one, but a lot of times, say you're looking at something like an error list or a small window, and you have very limited real estate, but you want to move in and you're kind of get yourself lost in a small scroll wheel, double-click the title, and it goes full screen. Right?
That is awesome, too.
So, so I have my error list. I have, you name the Visual Studio window. And you're like, okay, great. So what happens now when I need to minimize it again? Just double-click again, and it returns back to its old state. Mm. So it's like double-click in, get details, double-click out. So definitely a must-see. A couple other ones, timestamp margin. This is actually huge. So the folks who do debug.writeline in that output window, you actually can see, maybe I'm doing async tasks, and for whatever reason, something's supposed to execute 1, 2, 3, and I just say method called or something generic. You're like, well, no, it's actually executing 1, 3, 2, and you can see some of the timestamp data there. A number of the control click to peak to definition automatically, HTML copy improvements. Power Commands features and some of the other things to highlight code, like Structure Visualizer. There's just a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Go to the page that Greg's going to link to and just look at the screenshots.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And for those of you that haven't used the productivity power tools in the past, it's really kind of a test bed for the Visual Studio team to get new features out there in your hands right away. And of course, over time, a lot of those capabilities find their way into the official Visual Studio release. So give us your feedback. Let us know what other ideas you have for us.
Awesome.
Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
So my Pick of the Week, this is the Metro Tiles UI Kit. And so this is a Photoshop design thing. I don't know, what is the name for it? PSD file, right?
Yeah.
It really gives you everything that you need when you're building your applications to use the modern UI. And you can get in here and just make it really easy to cut and paste out the elements and modify the elements with the correct sizes that we expect for the applications. So I'm not a designer myself, so anytime I see something like this that can make it really easy for me to drop into Photoshop and just do that extra work to make my app look really nice, I love these resources. So that's a great resource.
Very cool. My pick of the week is actually XAML Spy Express, which now has an Express version that's free. So if you are developing a XAML application, you want to see kind of what's going on. People are probably familiar in the web world that use something like our awesome F12 developer tools, mm-hmm. right? The challenge with that is you don't have the equivalent in the XAML world. So XAML Spy allows you to say, like, huh, why is that rendering this way? And you can actually see what's going on there. So the Express version includes things, even some performance counter data and so on. It isn't fully featured, so people familiar with the IE tools where you can actually do things like inline editing, that's only available in the 4Pay version, but I still think there's a ton of value here.
Great. That's awesome. Good to know. Well, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.